thank you too as a congregation for giving me that grace a few weeks back at the annual meeting. You voted to allow me to sometimes go and supplement our income a little bit with this kettlebell business. Anyway, so I was able to go down to Monterrey, Mexico and teach a kettlebell course. Josh was going to even put some of those pictures up there. So had a group that I taught, so I'm over there on the end. Anyway, fun group, it's really neat. God showed up, and he showed up and did some really cool things because, you know, it's none of these people that I trained were coming from a Christian background, but there were some wonderful God experiences, and especially the two that I was standing closest to, the guy in the orange and his wife next to him, Raul and Brenda, had some wonderful times with them. And God showed up so much. In their own words, as I was leaving, they just said it was like an angel came down from heaven. Like I said, this is not a Christian couple saying that. We just had some phenomenal conversations. So it was wonderful to be able to mix kind of business but allow God to just do some wonderful ministry. So we need to keep praying for Raul and Brenda and some of the others. And then I was able, that ended at 4:30 on Sunday last week in the afternoon. At 7 o'clock, I was standing before the Roca de Salvacion Church, our sister church down there in Monterrey, Pastor Floor. And so next picture, that was me standing there taking a picture and saying, everybody wave to your sister church back in Moline. So anyway, that's our sister church. And Pastor Floor kept me busy. Preached for an hour that night and all in Spanish. And then the next afternoon, Monday, I spent almost 2 hours with the youth. What do you want me to teach on with youth? Pornography. Wow, heavy subject. Anyway, and then had like 20 minutes for dinner and then turned around and ended up teaching for about another 2 hours to the adults on discipleship issues, and it was wonderful. And they send their greetings. They have so much love for this congregation. For some of you who might not be aware, it's our sister congregation because for 10 years, from about 2000 to 2010, we took this church an annual missions trip down to Monterrey, Mexico, and worked with this church. So real tight bonds, real tight relationship. And in recent years, because of the level of violence that escalated in Monterrey, we couldn't go. But we've had some of them come up. But the good news is things have settled down, and so we're talking about the possibility of a small group going down at the end of the summer to be able to visit again. So Tuesday morning, long story short, I ended up having major dental oral surgery done. And so Wednesday morning, that's what I looked like. I was just, anyway, all swollen up here. Part of the reason for the beard is I really thought I was going to get some bruising from that, and they even said you probably are going to bruise from that. And so I thought I'm going to cover it up with a beard. And I didn't get the bruising, but my wife was like, I like the beard. So anyway, we'll see how this goes. So, yeah. All right. You can take the picture down. Anyway, all right. So, I better pray before this message. So, one to get me settled down, another to get you all settled down. So, all right, especially my wife. Okay. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love, your joy, and the amazing blessings that you have given to us. You are awesome. Help me, God, now as I preach and speak. May it be true to your Bible and true to you and your Spirit. And Lord God, may your Spirit be at work to challenge and convict us in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So Phil, how was boot camp, by the way? Really? Yeah. All right. The training was easy? Really? Well, you're messing with my sermon illustration then. Because Phil just got back from Air Force basic, you know, boot camp and basic training. And I'm just thinking, okay, most often in basic training, they don't say it's easy. I mean, it must be a testament. You were in good shape and everything. But, you know, could you imagine, you know, your drill sergeant going, now, there's a possibility that some of you might be going to places like Afghanistan or Iraq, and well, I hope you don't, if you're sent there, that you know you don't meet any of that ISIS crowd. But really, there's some nice things to see there, and maybe you're going to get to see a camel, and and things can be, I hope it's going to be really fun for you. So here in the training, we're going to talk about, you know, just things you can do over there in the Middle East. Is that what basic training is about? Usually the idea I get, I never went through it myself, but the idea I get is, boy, we're going to tear you down, build you up a military way, you know. And it's, we're getting you ready for war. And that's the idea, and they mean it. I mean, in other words, you're going to go to some extremely hostile places, and we better get you ready, because you're going to be confronted with the worst they're going to throw at you. And if you're not ready, boy or young lady, you could die. All right. My question to you is, what kind of a pastor would I be if I didn't get you ready and prepared for meeting God, standing before His throne to be judged? What kind of pastor would I be if I didn't do my utmost and everything I could? And I mean to give it to you straight. This is what it's going to be, and you better be ready. You know, I'm not going to soft step. I'm not going to water anything down. Because we will all stand before God as our judge, and we will be judged, and we will be judged for our works. Wait now. Hey, back up. Now, we are saved by grace through faith alone. Yes, absolutely. But we're going to be judged by our works. Now, that doesn't make sense. All right, here, let me make sense out of it, okay? Two illustrations. First, you got a cart and a horse, right? Okay, horse. The horse is faith, all right? And that's what we're saved by. But the cart that goes behind is works, okay? Now, you do not put the cart before the horse. So you do not count on my good works. I don't say, here, God, here's all the good works I did, therefore give me permission to come into heaven. No. Outright, no. We are not saved by works. That's Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, okay? We are saved by faith. And yet, if we have faith, well, there will be works. If you have Christ in you, and that's where Christ wants to be, in you, actually in you and you in Him, well, don't you think, as Klein Snodgrass, my favorite seminary professor, would say, don't you think if Christ is in you, He wants to do something with your life? And He will. And the result will be works. Fruit. The fruit for Him, for His kingdom. It's going to be so evident. That's my other illustration is, Jesus said, you'll know the tree by its fruit. And so we will be judged based on our works as the fruit which gives evidence of the tree, the faith. If you've got faith, oh, baby, there's going to be works. And so therefore, you're going to be judged by the works as the evidence of the faith. Does that make sense now? Okay. But we're all going to have to stand before our King, Jesus, and He's at the right hand of God Almighty on the throne, and we will come before Him and be judged. And that was exactly what Jesus was talking about in this parable with this king that went away. And notice, if you will, too, if you didn't hear it, but in that parable that Shannon read, how it said that when the king went away, many of them said to him, we don't want that guy as our king. Let me see if I can get out my notes where it go back to that. And it says, he was made, let's see, but his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. Here's what's behind that. There are a lot of people who don't want Jesus to be their Lord. And that's the reality that we have all throughout the world, all these people who really don't want Jesus to be their Lord. And sadly, too many people in the church, and not just our church, the church, Big C Church in general, who really don't want Jesus to be their Lord. I want the salvation stuff. I mean, thank you for dying on a cross, but really, I'm very happy with the way my life is and the way I order it. And, you know, just, I'm quite capable, God, thank you, for just living the life, my life the way I want to. Bad response. Jesus wants everything. Just like I was trying to explain to the kids with the little offering plate illustration. I mean, He wants our all. And He doesn't want just part. You know, He wants us to give Him all. And that's really what lordship is about. It's Jesus, You are my Lord, and I give You lordship, meaning You have total authority and total control. Your will be done. My life is Yours. When we start living that way, and like I told the kids, and the Holy Spirit gets in us, and the resurrection power of Jesus and His love and joy and peace and the fruit of the Spirit start building up inside of us, wow, things happen, and it becomes an adventure. Sometimes that adventure can take us into some, even scary situations. Been there, done that as a missionary. And yet God is faithful. He is always faithful. So this is what God wants. And it's right there too. I've got it printed in your sermon notes, you know, out of 1 Corinthians 4:7, which, by the way, that's Paul again. The same Paul who said, all right, that it is by faith, not by works, it is by faith that we are saved. You know, through or by grace through faith. He also said in 1 Corinthians, for who makes you different from anyone else? No, I'm sorry. The key text at the very top, 2 Corinthians 5. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body. That's works, right? For the things done, the things we do. But the things we do is what we'll be judged on because that gives evidence of our faith. All right. So start with there. That's the context, right? Now, in this parable, it talked about minas or minas, however you want to pronounce it, in Matthew's version, Matthew 25, pretty much the same parable but used the word talents. And so, you know, it's the parable of talents, and we're supposed to be good stewards, therefore, of our talents. What is stewardship? It means, Lord, everything I have is Yours. I mean, it was given to me by You anyway. You know, that's that quote out of 1 Corinthians 4:7 that I was mistaking, line number 2 in the sermon notes. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Everything you have is just, no, I worked for it, I earned it. With what hands? Yeah, the ones that were given to you by God. Right? Okay? And so, everything we have was given to us, and we are required to be good stewards of those things with the purpose that we might build up God's kingdom. Simple as that. And that's what good stewardship is all about. So we're supposed to be stewards not only of our possessions, and that was my sermon 2 weeks ago. Those are the externals, but the internals. That which we possess that's within us. And so, you know, talents. Now, the talents really, you know, it's kind of more like it was the king entrusting them with talents. It's almost like bags of gold. That's the way the NIV translates it. But I wanted to kind of jump a little and say, well, but God also has entrusted us with talents, natural talents, and gifts that He's given us. So I just kind of, this is not an exhaustive list that I put in your bulletin in the sermon notes, but just, you know, natural talents. What we're talking about is stuff that either we were born with or just developed naturally, but, you know, innate talents like just your intelligence or your aptitude, your creativity, your leadership skills, relational skills, the ability to teach, maybe physical talents, you know, strength, agility, stamina. I know a lot of missionaries that do sports outreach kinds of ministry. So you got athletes in action, fellowship of Christian athletes, organizations, missionary organizations, that they have actually, you know, got people that have great physical talents, manifest themselves in sports, and they go and use those as outreach to do ministry to people. So, you know, it's amazing when we turn it over to God, what He can do with what we've got. So some people say, well, I don't have, well, I certainly can't preach, and, you know, my thing is, I could never get up and talk. I'm kind of that quiet behind the scenes person, and, you know, great. You know, like our friend Lori Leonard down in Costa Rica, she's a missionary. Well, she's exactly like Judy Martel. Like Judy Martel is our church secretary, phenom. You know, Lori Leonard is this wonderful, phenomenal administrator going down there, and she administrates the mission down there. But she's the first to tell you, don't ask me to get up and preach, please. Dear Lord, no. you know, she's an introvert. So whatever we give over to the Lord, it's amazing what He can say. Oh, I can use that. Oh, watch. Watch me. Oh, I'll just turn that into something glorious, He says. So don't think, I don't have those special gifts. Yes, you do. Absolutely. You've got amazing gifts. Natural talents, and sometimes it is spiritual gifts. And so I've listed a few there too. And those come right out of Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, those passages that talk about our spiritual gifts. So some of us have been given wonderful spiritual gifts, gifts of the Spirit, like wisdom and prophecy and leadership and teaching and faith, service, encouragement, generosity, things like that. And I put down there too, forgiveness. Forgiveness is a wonderful gift that we've been given and an amazing gift to which we can give and minister to people with forgiveness. All right? So these are things that God wants to use if we will turn them over to Him, and He will do amazing, glorious things. That's God's part. So God's part is, you know, what resources has God invested in you? And I put a note there. You may need a spiritual gifts inventory to go, okay, spiritual gifts, what are you talking about? I don't even know. I mean, do I have to get the wisdom? Do I have to get the faith? Do I have to get the leadership? I don't know. They actually have developed these spiritual gifts inventories, and so you answer a bunch of questions, and then it helps you to discern, you know, what your spiritual gifts are. If somebody wants something like that, come and talk to me, and I'd be glad to help you get one of those resources and help you explore this, okay? Because that's God's part. He has put natural talents and gifts of the Spirit inside of us, but what's our part then? Well, our part is to maximize those. How can I just absolutely exploit these so that God's kingdom growth just compounds? See, a compound effect. So our part would be then maybe educational growth, either formal or informal. You know, to just take these gifts and talents and now maximize them by getting more education. Maybe it's just experiential growth. I can grow them from jumping in and through experience grow these gifts. Maybe it's faith growth. You know, come to Monterey with us at the end of the summer or some other time this year. We're talking about just going down the road, 3 hours down the road to Chicago and working for a weekend with Jesus People USA Covenant Church. And they're working there in the uptown neighborhood of Chicago. You know, if you take this step of faith, oftentimes it's, you know, kind of getting out of your comfort zone. All of a sudden, God comes through. And you learn these wonderful lessons about faith, and your faith all of a sudden just gets this boost and experiences this wonderful burst of growth. So there's opportunities like that. Just more involvement in church, especially in leadership. There's all kinds of opportunities here for you to grow your faith and grow your gifts and talents here. Again, why does it matter? Because we're going to be judged at the end of the day. And if you just, you know, if you stand before the God, before God, and just like in that parable, and just say, well, yeah, you know, that stuff that you gave me, I put it into a cloth. I was really afraid, and so I put it into a cloth, and I just hid it here. Here it is, God. What was the king's response in that parable? And so, you know, here's some real pointed questions. What will you have to show for your life up in heaven when you stand before God? What will you have to show for your life when you stand before God in judgment? More importantly, what are the things that will matter most to Him when He judges you? Because don't go start talking about, I was very successful in business. So successful, I got to be a vice president in my company, and I actually had a house and a nice house and a summer home, and God, you should have seen my car. Mercedes-Benz. You would have liked to drive now, I'm sure. Yeah. Is that going to matter to God? So in other words, God's going to respond and go, I gave you all these talents, all these gifts, and you use them all, every single one of them, for your own self-serving purposes. You didn't even have on your radar screen anything about the church, my kingdom, anything. I, for one, don't want to stand before God in those shoes. You know, in Hebrews it says, it's a fearful thing to stand before the living God. I think we're going to be trembling. Hi, God. You know, and by the way, the only defense is faith. Because it's, you know, none of us are going to be able to stand there and say, well, here's my works and therefore. No. All we can say is, Jesus Christ died for me and my faith is in Him. And then God's going to say, how was that evidence? If that's really what you believe, where's the evidence? As you lived your life, that was what you believed. Because James, the Apostle James, says, excuse me, you say you have faith but have no works? Show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. He says, you believe in God? Well, good. Even the demons believe in God, and they shudder. He said, faith without works is dead, invalid, null, void. Don't go up there and stand before God with a dead faith. But I confess, I said the sinner's prayer. And then? Did you mean it? Your life should have shown it if you meant it. See what I'm saying? If I'm here upsetting somebody, let me say this. My job is to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. All right? And like I said, what kind of pastor would I be if I didn't prepare you well? If all I did from up here at the pulpit is preach feel-good sermons, I'll tell you what, when I stand before God, I'm in serious trouble. I will be in serious trouble. And I don't want any of us to be in serious trouble. I want every single one of us to stand up there and go, I am only, all I can claim for myself is faith in Christ. But yeah, because of that faith in Christ, there were things I didn't, you know, and it's not about being perfect. Oh, far from it. It's about being committed. Are you committed to Christ? Not perfect. Oh, if it's about perfection, I am so gone. I'm the last one that should be, you know, standing up here. But it's about commitment. And let it be with zeal. Let it be with passion, as Paul said in Romans 12. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Oh, yeah. Fire it up, baby. Fire it up. All right? And then I put in the sermon note, it's all about love at the end of the day. It's all about Jesus in me, His love in me, and then just me giving that love away. His grace in me and just giving that grace away. And so our lives should be marked by love. And that's the major work. And really, all the works, they should be fueled by that love. They should be a result of that love. Why do I do that? Because I love. You know, it's not like, okay, God's requiring works. There's a poor hobo. Fine. Jeez, here's $10. Go get yourself a meal. Jeez. Yeah, God bless you. Yeah. Oh, they want me to serve in children's church. Oh, fine. Are you noting this, God? Good works? Okay. Come on. Thank you, God, for the privilege. And thank you. You've given me so much love. It's just bursting forth and just spilling out of me. And it's not even me. And that's the point. It's not even me. And that's why Paul would say, I've been crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live. It's Jesus Christ now lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. It's not me. It's Jesus living His life through me. And that's when it gets to be awesome, an awesome adventure of love. And that's what I want to encourage you in. I'm not up here demanding works, works, works. What I'm doing is challenging you that love, give yourself over to God and watch Him just take over, fill you with His Spirit, with resurrection power, with His love, till it's just spilling over. You can't even help yourself. You're just loving. And it should start in your own home, with your spouse and with your kids. Start it there, and then just let it just all of a sudden bleed into every single aspect. And it's a love adventure. So that's the challenge. So in conclusion, I've just got those questions for you, and I really want you to consider these. Please think about it. What resources has God invested in you? And if you don't know, really come talk, and we'll talk it through. What could you do to maximize those resources to where your impact for God's kingdom just expands and grows? Are you ready to stand before God's throne to be judged? Because tomorrow is not guaranteed to any of us. So, are you ready? And if you're not, okay, what do you need to do to get ready? Will your works reflect a vibrant faith? Not just lip service. Walk the talk. And then what can you do to up your love quotient toward God and then others? And do you want to live God's love adventure and truly thrive? Because that's what this is all about. In my whole sermon series, it's all about coming to a point where we can just thrive. Our lives will thrive. So, in conclusion, part 3 of the Russia Bible smuggling story, real quick, all right? So, I've had to split this up into 3 parts. This is like a 20-minute story, but I was explaining how when I was studying in Sweden as an exchange student back in college, we had an opportunity to go to Russia. This was back in 1988, so I was 20, going on 21 years old, and so I had an opportunity to smuggle. And from it was just a number of us from the group smuggled these little Bibles, but just a little pocket-sized Bible, Russian Bible, in. And so I told you about the train experience, you know, and getting searched by the Russian soldier, and then having the KGB there at the church we went to, and having the KGB agent come up to me, you know, "Do you have any gifts of literature to give to the church?" We had been warned. That's exactly the way they'll approach you. And you know, Josh, if you can go ahead and throw up on the screen. So, by the way, there's couple of my classmates, and Kenton in the middle now is a covenant pastor, by the way, but that says in Russian, Leningrad, Helsinki. So we took a train from Helsinki to Leningrad. Next picture then was we actually went to this church, a Russian church, and we were watching baptisms that day. It was so powerful. And so anyway, at the end of the service, I told one of my classmates, I said, "Tell Hans." Hans was our teacher from Sweden. I go, "Tell him I'll meet you guys out front at the end." And I just, boom, I made a beeline downstairs. I want to get away from that KGB guy. And so I go downstairs, and I'm just looking around, and everybody's starting to, you know, doing a greeting time as everybody's leaving. I'm just looking around and praying. I'm going, "Okay, God, who should I give this Bible to? I don't want to give it to a KGB guy, please. Okay, come on, God, who should I give?" And all of a sudden, you know, as I'm filing out, there was a guy that, you know, just turned around, and he was shaking my hand, just but so vigorously and everything. And, yeah. You know, and I just keep walking, and all of a sudden I thought, maybe that's the guy I'm supposed to give my Bible to. So I kind of just went back up to him, and I pulled the Bible, you know, out from my jacket pocket, and I'm like, "Would you like this?" And his eyes got big, and he grabs the Bible, he shoves it in his pocket, vigorously he's shaking my hand, because you got to understand, Bibles were illegal back then in Russia, and I mean, this little Bible might have cost him on the black market like at least a month's salary. I mean, this was a big deal to receive a Bible. He's just shaking my hand and everything. I'm just, you know, but I didn't want to make a big deal, you know. So, you know, I keep going out of the church, and I just went out to the church. I'm standing on the street, and then Kenton, who, you know, I'd shown you in that picture, that guy became a covenant pastor, you know, he was out there too. And so we're out there, and it's hilarious. You know, we must have thought that we were both like kind of Tom Cruise, Mission Impossible kind of guys, because we're just standing there trying to be, you know, relaxed. And so, did you give your Bible away? Yeah, and you? Yeah. You know, anyway, and then I heard his story and how cool it was, you know. And the rest of the group wasn't coming out, and so we thought, we better go back in. We go back in, and I see that same guy, and he comes up and he's shaking my hand, you know. So I'm like, I held out my camera. I'm like, can I take a picture? And so anyway, here's the picture of the guy. Was that a KGB guy? Look at his eyes. Look at his face. No way. No way. That Bible got into good hands. God was faithful. So, but again, how precious is this gift that we've been given? And I think it's in 51 or 52 countries today. This gift is illegal for you to have. What a precious gift. And the reason it's illegal, because when the authorities, when a government is anti-God, they know how powerful this is. Sad to say, they know better than we do oftentimes how powerful this book is. And we treat it like it's just, I don't know, some book to collect dust. What a gift we have. What a gift we have. So, and you've been given so many gifts. What are you going to do with them? That's what this message is about. Turn them over to God and let Him just absolutely take over your life and make it this love adventure. And let you, and that you may thrive. Amen. Let's pray now. Heavenly Father, we hail You as our King and our Lord. We incline our hearts before You in reverence, for You, God, are mighty. We confess that we've too often failed You in the area of our stewardship. And we've not been responsible with all that You've entrusted to us, but we've squandered too much of our time and our talents, our treasures and our testimony. Forgive us, Lord, for our failures. If it were not for Your grace and Your mercy, who could stand before You? Jesus, You are both a mighty King, but You are also a great High Priest. And for this reason You died for us, to atone for our failings and to reconcile us with God. And so we praise You. And we also praise You, Holy Spirit, for Your ministry of comfort and healing. And may You be our comforter now and heal us, mind, body, and spirit, that we may stand in grace before God, our King. And we pray now for family and our friends in need, that You would channel that grace and power and love in and through them. And so we pray especially for those in our midst who are battling with cancer. We continue to pray Your blessings, Your grace to cover Tabitha Estes and John Hutchison and Joda Shepherd, who's in Mayo's clinic for stem cell transplant. Bless him right now. And bless Linda Patton and Amanda Dang's friend's mom and Josiah Baker and Shannon Wright, who was declared cancer-free, but please, God, as she recovers from the skin graft surgery, bless her. And please be with Maxine's grandson, Dylan, who's finalizing this last treatment for cancer. Please, God, may they be those treatments be effective. And we pray for Maxine's sister-in-law, Mimi, and Mary Matheson's little baby, and Jason Hesse, and Randy, and Adarius Jones, and Larry Boggs, and Debbie Miller, and Tasha, too. We just pray, Lord God, that truly Your power would be in them, a healing power. Bless them. And we want to pray for the other concerns, too, Lord God, in our midst, especially for Karen Johnson, who's up in Minnesota right now, visiting with her parents and her mom. Lord God, it's not looking good, Lord God, but we just pray that it would be looking good from an eternal perspective. And we just pray, Lord God, if she's soon to be with You, that You would so envelop her and the whole family with Your love. And continue to be with Sean and Cammy Easton, Kathy Bear's friends who are grieving the loss of their 14-year-old daughter, Kaylee. Please, God, bless them in their time of grief. May Your peace be with them. Be with Don Neer's son, Tom, as he keeps recovering from his hip surgery. And be with his niece, Cindy, who suffered a terrible fall, skull fracture, and is on life support right now. Please, God, she's a mother of two. Bless her, Lord God. Do miracles there. and be with Martha, this friend of Tab Estes, recovering from broken bones suffered from a fall, and an older woman, please bless her family too, struggling with this issue. And bless Betty Lindberg, Lord God, as she continues to rehab after a broken hip and now has just moved to Heartland on Friday. Please, God, watch over and bless her, and bless the whole family too. And bless Dorothy Weaver. She's recovering from a fall and a broken leg and needing the family's considering long-term care for. Bless them, God. Give them your discernment. And then, Lord God, continue to be with Rich Ferry and his family. Bless them, God. Work powerfully in their hearts. And be with Travis, too, as he's away from home. And I just pray that you would continue to protect and guide him and bless him and especially his family here. And bless Dwayne's brother Bill and his two children, a son who is special needs, and his daughter then Carlene in the hospital with an infection. Please, God, may your blessings be upon them. Press in, God, press in with your grace. And be with Ellie Wildermuth, Lord God, as she's suffering from major back pain. So may your healing hand be upon her. Lord God, we praise you because we see your answers to prayers. And Lord God, you are faithful. Thank you. And we thank you too. We praise you for the great children's ministries leaders meeting yesterday morning. Thank you, God, for this wonderful ministry to our children. And Lord, seeing all these kids up front for the children's sermon, what a blessing, Lord God. Please bless them. Bless our children's ministry and youth ministry. Continue, Lord God, to just anoint those leaders and anoint the kids and the students involved. And Lord God, may at the end of everything, may we develop some wonderful, extreme disciples for you. And may that discipleship continue to be just a framework for all of our ministry and all that we do, to where we are, Lord God, continuing to build up faithful servants for you, that every single one of us, oh God, what a dream, every single one of us be able to stand before your throne and hear you say, well done, good and faithful servant. That would be the max, Lord God. Please, Lord God, help us develop our ministries to where we can help guide people in that way. And then, Lord God, there's so many missions and outreach ministries that we're working with and wanting to bless and supporting. And so today I just want to pray for Freedom Ministries and Wayne and Janine Allen. Continue to bless them and their wonderful counseling ministry here in the Quad Cities. Bless them and support them. And especially now as they're looking for another board member, bring the right person, Lord God, to serve in that role. And bless our sister church down in Mexico, Roca de Salvacion. Bless Pastor Flor and bless that congregation. Lord God, continue to be with Alex Velasco and Merge Ministries. And be with Alex and his wife Amanda and their children Santiago and Oliver and Sebastian. And continue to bless their home, bless their hearts. And Lord God, supply them in abundance with all that they need. And be also, Lord God, with the family of Tom Dang, as he's asked for prayer, just that they would know you, Christ, and accept you as their Savior and Lord. Bless them, God. Lord, continue to be with our nation and our military, Lord God. In Washington, D.C. especially, just focus, Lord God, your attention to bring about your righteousness, your justice, your mercy. Lord God, bring about true change that would then filter out. And bless all those who serve in the military, Lord God. Bless them, protect them, put a hedge of protection around them. And we especially pray for our own Joe Peterson. Bless him, Lord God. And Lord, bless us as a country with all the racial unrest. Bring about true reconciliation, God. And then in the world, we're praying against the ISIS threat. Lord, be that defender, be that great warrior, and take them head on, God. And then we pray for all the persecuted Christians around the world. Lord God, give them great boldness to make Christ known. Lord God, thank you for their witness. We're humbled by it. I thank you, Jesus. You are a faithful intercessor and friend. Thank you for your promise to take all these burdens that we've cast upon you and to create beauty from ashes. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your peace and your comfort. And thank you, Father, for your powerful love. To you be all glory, honor, and power, now and forever.